Be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. As a congregation, we are reading through the Bible over a two-year process. We found ourselves this January in Isaiah, concluding Isaiah today, chapter 66. I selected 61, chapter 61 as my text, as read for you a moment ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, now, I don't fly often, but I know. Today's airports are deadly. Pick your poison. DFW, Chicago, O'Hare, Washington, Dulles, LAX. These places, they don't have gates. They have graves. And it is a death march when you have to catch a collecting flight. Most of us know the feeling. We were trying to make a connecting flight, and you find the "You are here" sign, gate 65, and we begin to look for our next gate, for our next flight, number 495. And as we realize where we are, and as where we are supposed to be, we utter something like, "I'm not going to make it. I'm stuck." But with no other option, we take a deep breath. We grip our suitcase in one hand and our fun bag in the other, and we set out for what, by conservative estimates, will be a three-day hike. Then, up there ahead, we see it. Could it be? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? No better. As we get closer, our face, it lights up like the night on the 4th of July. Our hearts soar, for there in the distance is a people mover. A people mover is the yellow brick road of the airport. It is the last draft of a proposal. It is the last test of the last class of the last day of high school. A people mover is a horizontal escalator, a movable sidewalk. And while we catch our breath, it carries us along. When we take one step, we gain two. And what we thought would take 40 minutes has now been reduced to 10 minutes. And what a difference it makes. Deep sighs are dismissed. The fatigue is forgotten. The gallop is gone. Now, maybe, just maybe, I'm overstating my point about airports, but I would never, ever overstate the power of a people mover. And we might be stuck in an airport, but the people addressed in our text are stuck in Babylon with its canals and ziggurats, its Tigris and Euphrates River, its detestable dragons and lions on the Ishtar Gate, and its detestable statue of Marduk. Judah and Jerusalem and the Jordan River had been replaced by the building project of Nebuchadnezzar. You see, no more. Israel has no king, no royal city, no land, no temple, no liturgy, no sacrifice, no hope, and no future. By the rivers of Babylon, they would sit and weep, reminiscing about the good old days when they worshipped in the splendor of Solomon's temple and worked and shopped in the city of David and saw the Mount of Olives in the distance. They were permanently exiled. Oh, not in DFW, but in a foreign land. There's a game at places like Chuck E. Cheese and arcades, and it's called Whack-A-Mole. The contestant gets a hammer, and then he tries to, well, whack a mole. As the mole pops up out of a hole, you take the hammer and you hit it on the head, and before long you're going bam, bam, bam. No need for advanced education to succeed at this game, only the thrill for bam, bam, bam. The people of our text, they felt the hammer of God's judgment. because of their persistent pride, inflated egos, worship of other gods. And the list, well, it could go on and on and on. In the 6th century B.C., God sent the Babylonians as his hammer to smash them to smithereens. Some of the relatives had been murdered. The entire country had been mocked. Babylon, sent as God's agent of judgment to maim and maul, went boom, boom, boom. And we know the feeling all too well. Because of bad decisions, barbed words, embattled relationships, and the list, it could go on and on and on. We also know the just judgment of our God. The Ten Commandments are his hammer of judgment. Boom, boom, boom. And under the law, we feel trapped and locked in a life of darkness and despair and depression. There is a part of us that says, I'm stuck. Big time. But look, up ahead. Can it be? A bird? A plane? Superman? Infinitely better. We have a people mover. A servant, a Messiah, and his name is Jesus the Nazarene. Luke records the Lord's first sermon in chapter 4 of his gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then, to the shock of all, Jesus says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Fulfilled. Now, that is a perfect verb. And the guys in my Greek class, you are really going to love this. It indicates present, ongoing results. So not done in the past, not done in the present, but continuously ongoing. Meaning that the jubilee announced by Isaiah, begun in Nazareth, ongoing throughout Luke's gospel, is still going on today. To a dead son in the village of Nain, he says, young man, I say to you, get up. To a sinful woman at the house of Simon the Pharisee, he says, your sins are forgiven. To a woman with a flow of blood for 18 years, your faith has healed you. To Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. To Jairus' daughter, telakum. To the disciples, have no fear. To the starved, the famished, empty, come, for everything is now ready. And to the Romans who scourged him, spit on him, and spiked him, he says over and over again, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And to every one of us, he will one day announce with a loving gleam in his eye, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me. You know, we have a people mover, a servant, a Messiah, and his name is Jesus the Nazarene. In the baptismal flood, Jesus moves us from hell to heaven. In the Eucharistic body, he moves us from full to overflowing. In the absolution, we are told again and again and again, we have been moved from death to life. And that life is forgiven, free, and forever. Beginning with the exiles of Israel, down through the ages, we are moved to say, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me with a robe of righteousness. What then shall we say in response to all of this? We have a people mover, a servant, a Messiah. And his name is Jesus the Nazarene, and that is nothing short of revolutionary and life-changing. Exactly, says Isaiah, because I love you, says Jesus. Amen. You are the body of Christ, each one of you a part of it. Amen.